Welcome to Family Law Talk.
Family Law Talk.
Presented by Kirk Stange of Stange Law Firm, PC. Stange Law Firm is a multi-state family law firm. Now, here's your host, Kirk Stange.
Welcome to Family Law Talk. We have an important topic today. The topic is preparing for a meeting with a divorce lawyer. And this is based on an article on our blog, ChicagoDivorceBlog.com, dated February 2nd, 2024. And the title of that article is How to Prepare for a Meeting with a Divorce Attorney. So as a follow-up to the episode today, go on over to ChicagoDivorceBlog.com and read the article on this topic for more information. But let's go ahead and jump on in. When an individual needs a divorce or thinks they might need a divorce, or maybe their spouse has told them they want a divorce and they're going to be meeting with a divorce lawyer to discuss it, the question is, how do you prepare for that meeting? What should you do in advance of that meeting in order to make the meeting as effective as possible? And look, individuals sometimes meet one lawyer and they hire that first lawyer to be their lawyer in their divorce. Sometimes individuals meet multiple attorneys, and then after they've met multiple attorneys, then they make a decision about what attorney they want to hire. There's not really a right or wrong answer. Individuals can do it different ways. Oftentimes, if an individual has been referred to an attorney or a law firm, or maybe they've heard about an attorney or a law firm and they have a good read on it out of the gates, then maybe just simply hiring that law firm might be the way to go. Other individuals can be a little bit more indecisive, and maybe they're just not sure what they're looking for in an attorney, and maybe they don't have a referral. And in that kind of circumstance, it can make sense to meet multiple attorneys and then come to decision afterwards. But past that, no matter what an individual is doing, it is critical prior to that meeting to gather essential information and typically bring that to the meeting itself. Now, obviously, this is going to depend on the type of case, the facts, and the circumstances, but just take a typical divorce. Bringing financial information to the meeting can be very important, whether it's mortgage statements, deeds, titles to different assets, 401k statements, mortgage statements, these kinds of things. I mean, typically getting as much information as possible about the finances can be critical in a divorce. Obviously, this can oftentimes be supplemented later if it's something hard to get, but if this can be brought to an initial meeting, this can be a good thing. Certainly if child custody is going to be an issue in the case, any evidence that might be out there that could be important in terms of a custody decision could be important. It could be school records, medical records. It could be other stuff that's out there in terms of the kids, but gathering that information can certainly be a critical thing in a lot of cases. In terms of spousal support and child support, information there that could be relevant would be tax returns, recent paycheck stubs, the cost of health insurance for the kids. It could be extracurricular and educational expenses for the kids that are out there, but gathering as much of that stuff as possible before the meeting can be a really good thing, because if this can be shown to the attorney in the first meeting and the attorney's able to then really decipher what's going on, that can really help an attorney in terms of assessing the case, answering questions, maybe providing an outline in terms of how they might approach the case. So as much information as possible that can be brought to the first meeting can be a good thing. But again, oftentimes folks have to go back and supplement that later if there's something that's particularly hard to get. And certainly other essential information would be, look, if you've been served court papers, bringing those court papers, if the case has been pending a while and maybe an individual just hasn't hired a lawyer, then bringing those pleadings, those motions, those things to the meeting obviously is going to be really critical as well. All right. Something else that can be important prior to the first meeting is really determining what questions you have. So writing this down can be a good thing in terms of staying organized. I personally like it and appreciate it when a potential client, you know, comes in and they've got an outline of their questions. Okay. It could be handwritten on a piece of paper. Maybe they typed it out and then printed it out and brought it in. But being organized can be a good thing because, you know, one of the things you don't want to do is walk out of that initial meeting with an attorney and then realize you forgot to ask a question that you really wanted an answer to. So, and look, the questions can be about the case itself, could be some questions about the law, you know, that kind of thing. But if there's particular questions about the attorney you want to know, maybe in terms of their experience or their qualifications or how things work at their law firm, the kinds of cases they've handled in the past and whether this case would be in line with, you know, their prior experience, and all of that can be important as well. But write it down in advance before you come into the meeting. Don't come in and just ad lib it and wing it and then forget to ask something that is really important. All right, another thing that can be critical prior to going to the first meeting is really being honest about your situation, your goals. So spend some time thinking about what it is you really want. What's the outcome you're seeking? You know, what could you live with? What couldn't you live with? I've always told clients for years, even ranking your goals can be a good thing. So if you're able to rank, you know, hey, custody is most important to me, or child support is most important to me, or getting the house is most important to me, and then just ranking, so you've got your goals, but then ranking them from most important to least important, it could just be critical because it can help an attorney in terms of formulating a strategy that makes sense based on the goals. And so that's a key, you know, something else in terms of the being honest about your situation component. I think telling your attorney, obviously, the good things about you and the good things about your case in terms of your opinion of it, that's important. But you do want to tell the attorney the bad components of the case, the weaknesses, maybe the things you did that you wish you hadn't have done. Give the attorney the full assessment, because if an attorney knows this, they're going to be better able to answer your questions and better able to assess maybe best case and worst case and middle case scenarios. So don't hold stuff back and then drop this on the attorney later when they're deep in the case and there's not a lot that they can ultimately do. All right. Attorney fees obviously comes up in initial consultations. So definitely it's fair to ask, you know, what the hourly rates would be, what the upfront initial deposit or retainer would be, whatever it's called in your jurisdiction, and then trying to get kind of a general assessment, you know, overall in terms of how fees work at the firm. I mean, that's fair and definitely something you want to ask. Now, a lot of attorneys are going to have it in their fee agreement or their engagement letter as well. So, you know, you're going to get more detail there, but before you get to that step, it's good to kind of know, you know, generally what their hourly rates are and how they charge and certainly what the retainers and deposits are. All right. So again, to sort of kind of sum some of this up in a little bit, you know, in terms of facts and in terms of how to prepare for the first meeting, again, determine your primary goals and your other goals. Trying to rank these things can be important. All right. Outline your wishes for spousal support, property division, child support, in child custody. You want to be thinking about these things in advance. What it is that you want. If you tell the attorney you don't know, you're not sure, it's hard for the attorney to then formulate a game plan. Gather the important financial and legal documentation for you, your spouse, and your kids. Get as much of it as you can. Bring it to the meeting, all right? Obviously, to determine the date of the marriage and the date of separation, these are little basic details, but you know, most individuals know when they're married, but if you can come up with a date that you're separated, that's often required in court pleadings, all right? Again, create a list of questions for your attorney, including those about their experience in family law, how they approach cases like yours, and then again, just go through rates and deposits and these kinds of things in advance, all right? These are very important items to cover in an initial consultation, all right? You know, some individuals ask, what happens at a divorce hearing in any jurisdiction? And look, this is going to vary. Is this an uncontested case? Is this a contested case or a contested hearing? Okay, in an uncontested hearing, typically a court is presented settlement documents and both parties are affirming that they reviewed and signed these and they agree to these items. Again, that's called a non-contested hearing. These are usually pretty easy, pretty simple, pretty painless. But contested hearings, in other words, trials, that can be a totally different ballgame. Okay, their witnesses are testifying, evidence is being presented, the judge has to make a decision. In a contested hearing in a divorce could take many hours, it could take a day, it could take multiple days. It just depends on the complexity of the case itself. All right. Another question individuals have is, how do I prepare for divorce? And look, obviously that's kind of a broad question in a general sense, but one of the best ways you can prepare for a divorce is if you know it's coming, if you think it's coming, if you're worried it's coming and you just feel it, like the marriage isn't good, things aren't going in a great direction, hire an attorney, okay? A good rule of thumb is if you're thinking about hiring an attorney, if you think you might need an attorney, you probably do. Okay. And what a lot of individuals do is they kind of live in divorce denial, like things aren't good. Maybe their spouse has told them they want a divorce, but they're in divorce denial and then they don't hire a lawyer. And then when they don't hire a lawyer, they do a bunch of ill-advised things. Okay. I mean, maybe they move money they shouldn't move. Maybe they yell and scream at their spouse. They send texts or emails they shouldn't send. Maybe they get upset or angry and engage in an act that is not good, like throwing things, tipping something over, or you name it, right? All of this stuff can then hurt the case, okay? Divorce is hard. Divorce is difficult. Even people that are calm and laid back and chill and able to handle a lot, a divorce can put a lot of people in a place just emotionally that they've never been in before. So look, if you're thinking a divorce is going to happen, I mean, for real, if it's been brought up by your spouse that they want a divorce, if you think you really want a divorce, and this isn't just this sort of a fleeting thought, but it's something you thought about, you've contemplated, that's almost always the time to hire a lawyer. Always better to hire a lawyer, and then ultimately, if you have a change of heart, you can disengage that lawyer and get whatever's left back on your retainer or initial deposit. But you want to have that lawyer who you're able to call, who you're able to talk to when you're in that tight moment. You're upset, you're angry, maybe your spouse has said something to you. And I mean, you want to be able to go to a lawyer who can guide you, who can tell you what to do, who can calm you down. Having that early is better than waiting and doing something detrimental to your case, okay? So look, if you're thinking about hiring a lawyer for a divorce, it's probably best to hire one, okay? If you wait, you could just be living in divorce denial and causing yourself more problems. All right. In terms of who pays for divorce lawyer, well, look, I mean, typically each party is responsible for their own fees in a divorce, but it is possible where one party requests that the court order that the other party pay their fees. Again, that's going to be based on the facts. It could be one individual has significantly less resources. It could be a circumstance where one party's really behaved badly, has really been the person who really caused the fees to be run up in the case, something like that. So it's definitely possible for court to order one party to pay the other party's fees. But as a starting point, typically each party pays their fees. And so, you know, it's important to gather whatever that initial deposit is, and bring that with you to the meeting with a lawyer, you know, so have a checkbook, have a credit card with you, have some cash. If you can find out what the retainer or initial deposit is in advance and you're serious about hiring a lawyer, bring it with you. If they don't tell you, I mean, oftentimes a lawyer might not tell you what it is because they just don't know the facts. They don't know how complex the case is going to be. So they quote it at the meeting after they've learned more. So it could be a situation where you don't have the funds, you get them, you come back, hire the lawyer later. But I mean, typically, you know, if you've got a checkbook, a credit card with you, you're going to be in good shape. And then if you're serious about hiring the lawyer, you can hire them. They are on the spot, which can be a good thing, give you some peace of mind if you're comfortable with the attorney you met. All right. Well, that's the topic today. Again, definitely an interesting topic. This is a follow-up to the episode today. Go on over to ChicagoDivorceBlog.com, read the article titled How to Prepare for a Meeting with a Divorce Attorney. Be an interesting article for you to read. If you're thinking about hiring an attorney and you haven't done it yet, definitely an important topic. But that's the topic here today. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you listening. Stay tuned to our next episode coming up on Family Law Talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Family Law Talk with Kirk Stange. Visit StangeLawFirm.com for more about today's topic or to put Stange Law Firm to work for your family today. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements. Neither the Supreme Court of Missouri or Illinois reviews or approves certifying organizations or specialist designations. The information you obtained in this podcast is not, nor is it intended to be, legal advice. You should consult an attorney for advice regarding your individual situation. We invite you to contact us and welcome your calls, letters, and electronic mail. Contacting us does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please do not send any confidential information to us until such time as an attorney-client relationship has been established. Past results afford no guarantee of future results, and every case is different and must be judged on its own merits. Kirk Stange is responsible for the content. Headquarters, office, 120 South Central Avenue, Suite 450, Clayton, Missouri, 63105. Kirk Stange is licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Kansas.